But if you're interacting with a whole bunch of your employees or coworkers or family members, you need to remember in that interaction, what makes it safe is for you to allow them to be where they are. You know, just allow people to tell their story without setting expectations that you're going to solve every problem for them.
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Happy Wednesday to everyone listening to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. How, what's new with you this week? What's going on?
Well, my daughter started her senior year in high school online. We're on day number two, and it's a little weird. So that's a whole adjustment here. It's also a lot of strain on the Wi-Fi. But besides that, and it's an adjustment. I know your kids are little, so I'm glad right now you guys aren't completely dealing with all of this yet.
My boys just went to school for their first day. Yesterday, had a wonderful day, masks and all. So it's good. It's good to go from four monkeys in the house down to two for the day. My goodness. It's been an awesome summer. A lot of transition, a lot of move. Really excited about this episode. Number 13, for those of you who are listening to us on a weekly basis, thank you for listening. We hope that you're being encouraged here as we open up and unpackage sometimes not the most popular topics and sometimes icky and yucky topics that really though speak to the main thing of the focus and equilibrium as leaders in an unprecedented time. This episode is called Taking Care of the Humans on Your Team. We're going to be talking about caring, listening, requiring yourself and your people to find new balance with work from home or new work dynamics for fall 2020. Welcome back to the Leadership Series. Thank you, Chris, so much for doing this.
Yeah, I think this is an important conversation. It is not the same conversation we've been having the first 4 months of this experience. It's time for a new version of this. Not a shallow conversation, people. So this might be a little uncomfortable, like Nick said. You know, I specialize in uncomfortable. And this is a topic that I feel is so relevant. I actually asked a few people to give me some questions that we could talk about. And immediately, and by the way, I didn't go straight to leaders like CEOs. I went to people who work for people like you, Nick, and people who I coach. For those of you who don't know, I have a consulting firm. We've been doing this for 23 years. We have a lot of amazing customers. Nick is one of those, and I work with he and his team. And so I was able to reach to team members. You know, some people down in the organization, doesn't matter how big or small, for-profit, nonprofit, people, humans are there. And interestingly, the questions I had were things like, how do I get my boss to not be so busy on Zoom calls and phone calls? Because right now that is the new normal, right? Like everybody's just going from Zoom to Zoom and we have fatigue on video and, you know, that's the thing. And this person was saying, how do I get him to actually pause? Because now it seems like, you know, before it was running to meeting physically, but there were hallway interactions. There were ways to get people's attention. Now, because a lot of people are in their homes and are doing things in transactional, you know, Zoom meetings, et cetera, There's no in the hallway in between. And so this person was like, it's impossible to get his attention. And so even though he's saying the right things, and that person actually referenced our podcast and saying, she's been listening to your podcast with Nick and
yay,
right? To do the right things, telling us, you know, I want to find balance and saying all the right things. She's like, getting his attention to actually have a one-on-one conversation about this is next to impossible. So I think we need to talk about that because, you know, a part of helping the humans is not only something a few things we've talked about, right, Nick, like being vulnerable with people, having one-on-ones, creating the space that feels safe to people to talk about the challenges they're facing in working right now. And, you know, obviously if they can't get a one-on-one with you, that's a thing. And then if when you have the one-on-one, you're not in the right headspace, you know, people aren't going to share real information. So I thought we could talk about that.
It's huge because I remember when you first introduced that to our team and our cadence, where the terminology safe place and a time could be basically saying, look, time out. This is what's going on. Because especially now with the fact that we aren't seeing each other in the hallways, you can't read the body language as much.
That's
and
right.
You can almost feel it in the air sometimes when it's heavy and thick and it's hard. You can feel it in the air. Now you just have no pulse on that. And I also remember you challenging our team to even like on a month-to-month basis on the people that you're directly interacting with, you always get a pulse check on how you're doing on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being no stress, 10 being fully stressed. That was such a game changer for our team when you brought that concept alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I think you said it in one of the podcasts, Nick. It's like the little things that matter, right? And yeah, so doing a pulse check, allowing the space for people to talk about how they really are. I think we talked about this maybe in one of our other episodes, which is, you know, right now there is this weird blurred line, specifically in business environments, where before COVID, there was that line in between work and home. And, you know, so many managers and leaders are afraid about how to cross that line and allow people to talk about their mental stability, you know, their stress levels, what's actually going on in their home outside of this square, this video square. You know, all of that feels scary. I've had leaders say to me, we weren't allowed to talk about that before. That was kind of against the HR rules. We didn't want to open that Pandora's box. Yet now, wait, I'm confused. Now I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be allowing people to share. And then what happens when they share things that, you know, I can't really help them with, and then it feels shallow, for instance, for a leader to say, oh, thank you very much. Got to go to my next Zoom. Right. Talk about a lack of safety. I'm going to ask you, I mean, how do you think you're doing right now in, you know, your interactions with your team members? And what do you think maybe in the next few months you want to, now that you do have 2 kids who are going to be actually physically going to school, I'm so jealous. You know, what do you think you could do better in the next month or so? And then, you know, maybe you can give some advice to people on how they can make it super safe and open for their team to talk about their work from home.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like I needed to sort myself out first. Mm-hmm. Got my whiteboard and my cork board. So I've upgraded not just whiteboard, but cork board as well. So I print out a list and just pin it on the wall because my kids rub out what I write on my whiteboard. So getting ahead and trying to figure out what the new normal looks for me, and what are my priorities. It's really interesting. I found myself that when I felt like I could see a little bit of a glimpse of the track, like I'm a thoroughbred just wanting to, you know, run. And it was at a time where I feel like I was in a horse trailer looking at which track I'm going to run. I think I shared that before in that illustration, but when I finally got on the track, it was like, I'm, you know, itching to go. And I catch myself, I'm like, wait, don't go back to the old Nick where you're just doing it because it seems right. And it feels right. Is that the best decision you can make? Because again, I'm going back to, for me to get myself stable first, every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And do you really want to say yes to things that's going to take 6 to 12 months before you could then start saying yes to something else? And you don't want desperation or emotions or any other thing like that to trigger some preempt decisions that you later regret. So I feel like I needed that time for me. It's been 8 weeks of quite a massive transition for me this summer. And I feel like actually this is the week that I am absolutely fully back to me, feeling like I can feel, that I can think, that I can plan. I'm halfway through filling up that cork board. And one of the reasons why I didn't want to put pressure on any team around me is because how could you really expect somebody in their department really figure it all out, what they got to do, what it kind of looks like, until you kind of feel like you got to figure it out. But looking back and like having this little session with you, maybe I should have been a little bit more proactive and going to departments and, you know, letting them know, hey, how are you doing? Like we're all trying to figure all out, you know, what this all looks like. And some of my members team members were saying, are there any more speaking engagements for the rest of the year? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I don't know. And so the long way to say it to you in an answer was, I feel like I had to figure out myself before I could check the pulse of others. But I also have that excuse to say that I also had, we have a COO who's incredible at Life of the Limbs, Amy, who is doing those, if you will, pulse checks.
Yeah.
And I actually had one just with, a really good conversation with her about how she, what's really great is that your employee or employees can feel like they can approach you. And we've been able to have some great conversations about her and her pace and her priorities and kind of even expanding the capacity of some team members there as well, as we're pivoting in a very different era. And what's great is, let me just say this way. So two tiers down, no, I don't know what today the pulse check is on any of the, personally, the team members. But what I love about having your, like if you're a CEO and you're the visionary and then you've got the COO, the implementer, what's wonderful is I've taken a deep breath of refreshment and thanksgiving. Because we both, Amy and I, have had that like, yay moment this week where we're finally at a place where we're going to be able to go deep diving into the areas of now analysis. And I'm happy to come in. Like I want to get in with the analysis with her on where we're at operationally and having that time where we're not feeling like we're 10 steps behind anymore. Because you know, face it, everyone went 10 steps back in some way, shape, or form. And so now that we feel like ourselves again and we're in sync, having an alignment meeting hopefully next week, and then I've actually listed out the 27 things I want to make sure that we've at least had a couple discussions on the ministry level, on the organizational level, that's not about the nitty-gritty operational and nothing about COVID as much as like, okay, how are we leading our team? So I need to lead myself first and then get my bootstraps tight and now getting in sync now with the leader of the department. So I think that's where I'm finally at.
Yeah, it's so good. I want to unpack what you just said and make sure everybody captured that. So in the self-help world, there are terms like self-care, self-love. Before COVID, I think a lot of people didn't get that. They thought that that was selfish. If you didn't do a self-help stuff, if you weren't that person, a lot of people just thought, oh, that's for weak people. You do that when you have a problem or you're recovering from something, but that's not something I do because I'm strong and fast and highly distracted and type A, Tasmanian devils. So I think what you just said is really important, right? So you have to take care of yourself first, like on the plane, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help someone else. That is a great way to consider leadership philosophy. And right now it's critical. You cannot help other people if you cannot think clearly, if you are not grounded. And to Nick's point, right, he just went through a major life change. He moved states, his whole family had to get himself settled, had to get a new whiteboard, all of those things. But I don't want anybody to take that lightly. That's not like a one-time check the box and it's over. Self-care right now needs to be all parts of you, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, the whole person. You need to feel like you are somewhat stabilized, and a lot of people still aren't stabilized. So I would just say to everyone, whether you're a leader or not, self-care at this moment is critical. And then, like Nick was saying, it's such great advice. If you are a leader, or manager, a supervisor, I don't care whether you work with one other person or 100,000 people, once you feel like you've got your act somewhat together, even if you know what you don't know, then you can start having one-on-one. So I don't think you would need to regret anything about the last few months. I caught that, Nick. You said should have been doing or something. And no, I think timing's perfect. Like, you're ready to do that. Clearly, if you are feeling the momentum with Amy, you're both ready for that. I'm glad. I'm talking to her later today, by the way, about your team session this week. And so I would say to everybody, get yourself in order. Self-care is critical. That is continuous. It's not a check off the list. It should be something that you do regularly. In this moment, back to the question I had from that employee, when you think about your interactions with people, I think it's important to understand something, right? Like, we're not all ever going to be equally anything. So you may be in a spot where you're feeling more secure. I got my act together. I feel better than I did a month ago or 2 months ago. But if you're interacting with a whole bunch of your employees or coworkers or family members, you need to remember in that interaction, what makes it safe is for you to allow them to be where they are. You don't need to be their therapist unless you are a therapist. And then still, I wouldn't do that. Don't cross those boundaries unless someone's paying you to do that job. you know, just allow people to tell their story without setting expectations that you're going to solve every problem for them.
So good.
I mean, it's critical right now because everyone's got something going on outside this Zoom box, right? Like, there's a lot going on. And it's not going to stop, people. I don't care what country you're in. Like, this pandemic situation, it's not going away anytime soon. We got an election coming. We've talked about it. It's nuts in this country. It's not going to get less nuts. You know, so people's stress level and the anxiety, and of course, this whole work from home thing that now isn't temporary, you know, is something that if we don't create the space, that means your people are A, going to fake it. Bad for productivity, bad for morale, terrible for their mental health, bad for your connection with them, right? You can't actually make great decisions in business when you've got half the people on your team coming to the Zoom call with 50% of them thinking about other things and unsure about whether they can be real.
Right. Wow. I
mean, that's really
not- That's the reality.
It is what is real right now.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, you know, the people who are wanting to get the attention of the boss, give us a couple tips for somebody who is like, hey, look, I wish my boss was doing more of this.
Mm-hmm. Great question.
Yeah.
Great question. And let me frame that to everybody here watching, right? every person here probably has someone they wish like they could get their attention and have a conversation. So this might be contextually to work, but it maybe it's outside of work. And then if you are the boss listening, I would say to you, you could encourage your people to do what we're going to talk about here. So I think there's a few really easy things to do. If you don't have a regular one-on-one schedule with your manager, you could ask for that. Advocate for yourself. 15 minutes to do that. If they have an assistant, you might want to, I know it might feel bold, but you could ask their assistant to put it on their calendar. I know in many corporate settings, you can't do that. There's no space in the calendar. And so if that's the case, you could email your boss so that they have a moment in time when they're ready and they're reading their email, where you could just say, I'd love to request time with you. I want to talk about these things. And if you maybe bullet point it and talk about that, you want to talk about your plan. This is coaching for everybody. Here's my plan for the next few months on how I'm going to be as productive as possible while I'm also dealing with homeschooling my children. Or whatever realities you have, caretaking, maybe someone who's been sick or an elderly person in your home who you're trying to avoid them being sick. There's a lot of this going on. There's a lot of caretaking. There's a lot of double duty. And as we go into the fall of this year, you know, there's a lot of realities people have that the boss, you need to know. You need to know, right? If we don't talk openly about the reality of these situations. Like I said, you've got half the person, they're physically there, but their brain's all over the place. And so I would say get some one-on-one time, articulate it in an email if you need to, and ask for time. You know, the other thing I would do that I think everyone probably has the ability to do, whether you know it or not. So my challenge to you is to get a buddy or a mentor. I know online there are organizations of people who are volunteering to, to be an accountability partner, a buddy. If you don't know how to do that, I know everyone in my organization or Nick's organization, we would love to help you find resources. If you're kind of over the edge and feeling like you need extra help and you don't know how to get that, we could help you do that. We both have organizations and teams who could help. So you're not alone is the real part of this, right?
Right. And maybe it's not an ill intention or a
right
misstep, right, by the managers. It's just right now. A lot of our brains are not our normal brains right now with so much going on that I'm sure deep down they're like, yeah, no, I wanted to do that. It's just, you know. And so we want to help you as an employee or even a manager to help you. In fact, we'd love to hear from you. If you're listening or watching, you can go to nickvujicic.com and contact us there. Go to the drop menu on the podcast and give us something that maybe you're challenged with in your workplace, whether you're a manager or not, or an employee or a CEO, whichever position you're at in your company. As a leader, if there's something that you'd like us to unpackage and tackle and face with you, mm-hmm. and maybe give you some clear points, even if you give us an example of what's going on, anonymously, of course, we'd love to help you on this Leadership Now series as well. Do you think, Chris, that some people who are not in the US have a less threat with COVID than other people? I know it's a kind of a gray and vague question, but I mean, a lot of our listeners and viewers are from actually outside of America as well. And I'm just curious, in your mind, in your experience, because you've done a lot of coaching with executives from people all around the world, all types of different cultures. What about that dynamic for other countries? Are you seeing them
For sure.
Not as affected or same affected. What are you seeing and feeling?
Mm-hmm. I actually was WhatsApping this morning with my friend in Northern Italy, checking in there. And I think depending on where you are, there are different versions of this story for sure. Some countries, I think, believe that they are over some hump and, you know, things are getting back to normal. People are going to work. They might still be cautious, wearing masks, etc. You know, so I do think there are some places also where they've had another version of lockdown. And, you know, of course, even in across the US and across Europe, across Asia, everybody's kind of dealing with it differently, depending on whatever numbers they've been relying upon, you know, in this. So, you know, I would say, regardless, something that you said made me think, you know, I think that us being respectful of people in different places and actually asking the questions, and we talked about this a little bit on the Global Teams podcast we did, but it is important for each of us to not assume that we know what is happening for someone else, right? Like, so this is really a time where we should be exploratory in our interactions, like wanting, curious about people, wanting to know what's going on, not diluting or devaluing their story just because it's different than yours. And I say that because, by the way, there's a lot of behaviors that we all have, and culturally things mean different things when we react in different ways. And so I feel like people are super sensitive at the moment. And so my recommendation to everyone, regardless of what your job is and where you are, that this is a moment in time to think of everyone as a human. And to, you know, like we said in the title, like this is about just taking care of the humans, right? Like, let's just not worry about, you know, the differences in geographies or titles or any of those things. There needs to be some moment in time where you just connect with the human and actually listen to their story and not have to agree, not have to tell your own story then as a reaction to their story, because some people feel like that's what it's about, right?
I hate that. I hate that. I'm like, you try to, you know, tell someone something and like, oh yeah, because when I, and you know, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you just listen to me? And you don't ever have to feel like you have to bring in that gap. You know what that actually does? Mm-hmm. It devalues, it puts yourself up in a subconscious way. And they don't even understand that. They're putting themselves up or elevating themselves. It's almost like a transactional thing all the time. And the reference before, during, and after is me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. instead of having that other person feel valued, listened to, and heard. And the way that you sometimes, here's a simple tool. Without any reference. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, and like, just acknowledging that you've heard them without whatever, some reprise of your own story, of your own whatever. I just, that gets annoying real fast for me. And you so just, I try not to do that.
Look, you just said two things. I want to pause and just make sure everybody really witnessed that. So first of all, in these Zoom video situations, I've actually had these conversations in coaching with people. You know how weird it is right now? Like, if I look at the camera or whether I'm looking at you, do you know what I mean? Like, so when we're before COVID, when we had in-person meetings, think about this. Like, we knew we could make eye contact and body language, and we could see everything that was happening because we were actually in the physical room together. So if you weren't looking at me, I knew. And when you were looking at me, I knew. And you guys, don't take this for granted. Oh my gosh, you have no idea how many people I've said, time out. Like, this is so different. And so we cannot take for granted that when someone's telling you something and to them it is important, you have to actually let them know you're paying attention. Because it's really easy. Even now, like, I'm like, am I looking at myself? Am I looking at you? I mean, guys, like these little things right now matter more than they did before. I'm telling you. And by the way, guys, like everybody, women, men, I don't mean guys, like just the men. I mean, people, please understand that you cannot pause and pay attention to what we're saying enough at this moment. The humans on our planet need each other to be extra sensitive and aware, because it's not the old world anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's triggered, to your point. Like our Maslow's hierarchy, if you don't know what that is, I'll find a way that on one of our websites, I'll post a blog or something on Aria Coach probably about this. You can Google it, anyone around the world. And you cannot take for granted that right now people's kind of survival instincts are triggered. Right. So you said another thing, Nick, that I think is also important for us to talk a little bit about, because it's a core piece of your work. So, you know, it's embedded in Rise Above, and all your programs and all your books to me have some themes in it that right now also can create safety if managers, leaders, employees deploy it, you know, which is, you know, being aware of, you know, what it means to feel like you're limited, right? So much of your work is about being limitless or not having limits. But right now we're in a time where everyone's feeling constrained, physically constrained, like you can't leave your house or you have to wear a mask. And so it's fascinating to me because this is something you're an expert in, actually. Is not being constrained, and everyone's dealing with the mental part of this kind of breaking free from it. So that was just a shameless plug for your books, and I didn't even plan to do that, but it's true. Like,
no, I appreciate that. You know, it's all about that reframing. And you know, like I want now when you do, I'm just going to say this because I'm here where I'm at now in mm-hmm. this arc for 2020, where I feel like I found my 2 feet. I feel like now, you know, I'm realigning now with the leader of the entire team. We're going to do deep dives. I'm so excited with the next month. I really am. I feel like the hardest part of 2020 for me is over. So I'm now hoping that the rest of 2020 is better than the first half. But what did I want to say? Oh, so that, you know, maybe this is a really good pulse check for people listening, Chris, who, maybe 4 months ago, like myself, found it difficult to peel yourself off the floor and feel motivated. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lack of direction, there was a lack of knowledge and understanding of what is going on. To now is like, okay, well, now I feel like, and before you now bolt and go, you know, like make sure that everyone else feels not just valued, but actually that you empower them and equip them with tools to feel productive. I think a lot of disabilities and constraints that people will also feel is they don't feel productive as they once were. I mean, you put that chemistry in a human being of being able to go to work, going through traffic, listening to the podcast, you feel good getting out of the house. You feel good coming home after a long day at work. You know, you don't get that, you know, now it's like I don't feel like I did much. Like I remember there was a couple of weeks ago, we're like, I did so much today, but I accomplished nothing, kind of thing. And you're like, so how do leaders out there, Chris, maybe empower, or equip, or ask some good questions, or do some assessment mm-hmm. on how to have your team not just feel valued, but the dignity level, right, where you feel productive again?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I've got some things for you. Boy, I'm going to say something and it's bold. I think leaders should be asking themselves first and then their people, what pressures did we impose upon ourselves when we thought this working situation was temporary? So first question, what pressures did we impose upon ourselves when we thought this was temporary? The second piece of that, what is not sustainable?
Wow. Truly.
No, it's huge. And the teams
it's massive.
asking these questions. These are not easy answers, my friends, because I'll tell you an example, because you, Nick, you just said something and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I just had this conversation with a leader and their team. And it's real, right? All the people who are no longer commuting, many of them filled their commute time with more meetings. And I had a leader say the other day, like, what? That used to be my personal time. Like that hour commute in my car before, I talked on the phone, but I listened, but it was my time. And now we've scheduled ourselves through all those times. So they've become extra work hours for some people. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to do that anymore. So first of all, you are in charge of you, leaders, like you are in charge of your team. You might want to take an inventory and say, okay, going into the fall, let's just run in little sprints here. What we did the last 4 months, what worked plus Delta, what do we need to change? Plus Delta is a tool. You can download that, I believe, at ariacx.com. If not, I'll make sure that that's in the blog at Aria Coach. You can Google it. Plus Delta is, Nick and his team use it. It's where we say, what is working plus, and what do we want to change? That's what Delta means. And so, this is an important time to do that. We just did 4 months of this, almost 5 months of this, what worked, what needs to change because it's not sustainable. And then something you said, Nick, needs to be embedded in that. You can't forget it, leaders, right? Here's the work we have to do. Here's what productive means. It might be different now. So you've actually got to think about that. Some people's businesses are not doing well. Some businesses are doing incredible, out of control, right? We have businesses that are experiencing incredible growth. All those delivery services, for instance, because everyone's having everything brought to their house. It might be great. It might be horrible. The employees might be exhausted, right? I don't know. So it is important to have that conversation, Nick, and for leaders to notice and on purpose say, okay, whatever was happening the last 4 or 5 months, we don't have to keep doing it if it's not working.
Right, right. And be okay with that.
Hello. We are actually in charge of what we're doing every day. Like there's no one, that's why I said, what have you imposed upon yourselves? What pressures have we taken on that aren't going to work? And by the way, here's a really second hard conversation, and I know nobody wants to have it, but there are some places brave enough to do it. Okay, what if things that we did before COVID never come back in the same way?
Exactly.
Are you willing to change people's roles? Right, Nick, I said to your team the other day, Cheryl, who does development, you know, we've been talking about, you know, and everybody should be thinking about this. What if in-person interactions can't come back completely for another year? What are our salespeople and our fundraising people and people like me who used to facilitate coaching and meetings in person? That was how we did our job. You know, what if that doesn't actually come back for about 12 months? Well, guess what? Let's not wait 12 months to figure it out, everybody, and go, ooh, I wish I would have talked about that 12 months ago when Chris and Nick told me to. Like, no, think about it now and then start to adjust and find new ways to get some of the same outcomes. And if that doesn't work, you might have to adjust the outcomes.
Yep, same thing with most departments. Like the 27 areas that I've written down, it's the same thing, whether it's merchandise, because you're not at events anymore, right? And all the artists that stopped touring, you know, out there now have had to figure out, okay, how long is this going to be? How do I market it? How do I get it out there? And do you stop developing? Do you not stop developing? No, you got to have those conversations. I though really quickly want to just add in on the previous point about, being productive. From a reframing point of view, let me just encourage everyone listening and watching, you might actually, if you took a moment to intentionally analyze how much you've actually done as well in the last 5 months, Like if I look back 5 months ago, wow, I'm 21 weeks into our Nick Vujicic podcast. And then halfway through that, we started like, this is, I think, our 13th or 14th episode. That's amazing. It's nearly 6 months. And look how much work we've put in. And kind of not a pat on our own back, but like patting each other's backs. Like, hey guys, I know you don't feel productive, but we did have, do you remember that discussion? Now we did do that. We did cross that bridge. And they're like, oh yeah. Because I feel like now, just like I did the reframing of attitude is gratitude theme in life, where you're thankful for what you have. When it's really bad, you're also thankful for what could have gone even worse. This, in the productive sense, it's not just, hey, let's empower you. Let's make you feel valued. Let's don't wait for 12 months. What also is really encouraging, I think, is remembering, wow, this was nuts. And yeah, we didn't feel as productive, but look at what we did accomplish. Like, look at the decisions that we did make, right? That already in 6 months, we're like, that was the right decision to make. I think like that's an encouragement that you really need to boost the morale in any team, no matter, you know, what team you have.
Oh, it's so true. Look, we can't do it today in our next episode. I'm going to try and tee this up, actually, Nick, which is great. Talk about necessity is the mother of invention. I want to take it to the other level here and go back into something that Larry Wilson, the late Larry Wilson, who we both know, taught me, which is dissatisfaction is actually the mother of invention. So it's not just necessity, people. We actually oftentimes innovate and do some of the best things in the moments where we are the least satisfied. So that's a teaser for what comes next.
I love that. I'm sure that's where bidets and toilet paper came from.
Right? Because banana leaf or something else was not working.
Dissatisfied.
Dissatisfaction. We are going to tackle that in a big way.
That's great. Anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
Two things I would say from today. You are dealing with humans. You are a human, and everybody around you, as far as I know, you could have some robots, but that's another day. And animals, we could talk about another day too, but let's focus on you and the humans. So take care of yourself. Start to think about what is sustainable and what is not. Really be honest with yourself about the pressures that maybe you've put into practice over the last few months. And before the fall, like before Labor Day, and as we kick into what we consider to be the fall here in North America, I would say season change for everybody else. It's time. It's time to really reboot a little bit again and say, what is sustainable? What's not? How am I going to be at my best? How do I help my people be at their best? And make sure you don't make assumptions without knowing how they feel about it.
Love it. Love it. Incredible. I've never seen this word, like what I've been doing keynotes for during our webinar sessions for clients all around the world. I just did another one this week. I talk about the four pillars of surviving and then the four pillars of thriving. What's really interesting is sustainability is not just for surviving. Sustainability is very closely married with scalability, which is where you step into the thriving aspect again. And so it's a restart of that. So let's put the footings back in the new foundation of what we're building, people. And wherever you're listening from or watching from, we love you. And we're so glad that you could join us for this week's Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris. Thank you for joining. Make sure that you like it, review it, subscribe to the channel, and share it with someone else. Maybe even share it with your coworkers who might be thinking the same thing that you're thinking, that you guys might say, hey, I think we need to introduce this concept in our team, to have these team meetings, to have these times where I can check in with my boss every 15 minutes every week or something like that. Chris, this has been invaluable. It's actually one of my favorite episodes that we've done so far.
Yeah, it's great. Humans, take care of the humans.
Humans. Love you all. Have a great week.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.